Good afternoon, everyone. We continue today in our journey through the Haggadah with some pre-Pesach Haggadah insights, and we find ourselves today focusing on the section of Karpas. The Gemara Maseches Psachim on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis 114b explains that we go to intake a little bit of vegetable, and again, there are different customs as to what one uses for the vegetable. The important part is that it has the bracha of Borei Pri Adama, and we dip it in salt water. And the Gemara says, why is it that we do this? Duhu Kedei Delehavi Hekera Litinokos. Ultimately, again, explains the Gemara, we do this in order that it should be something intriguing and different for the children. Or in other words, the Gemara explains that there are a number of things that we do over the course of the Lel HaSeder, which may themselves not have so much dramatic significance, but are done because they are an aberration from the norm, are done because they are a departure from the way that we normally do things day in and day out. Why do we have to engage in quote-unquote strange types or different types of behavior? So the Gemara explains this idea, to get the children to ask. The goal of the Pesach Seder is to transmit the Pesach narrative, the entire concept of the continuum of Jewish suffering, redemption, salvation, belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, optimism and hope. It's our goal to transmit that to our children. But in order to do that, we don't just want the Seder to be a, we'll call it a frontal teaching experience, but rather we want the children to engage. The best way to engage the children is for them to self-engage. And the best way for them to self-engage is for their curiosity to be piqued by things that they see that are out of the norm. And therefore, there are a variety of things that we do throughout the Seder, which are different than every other night. The Manishtana HaLayla HaZeh, in order that the children ask questions, which gives us, the parents, the entree to go ahead and give the answers, and ultimately engage in this incredible dialogical experience with our children, with our friends, with our family, and again, even by ourselves. But yet, if one looks in the Sfarim, when one looks in Hasidic literature, and even just not in Hasidic literature, but in general, one looks in the various commentaries on the Haggadah, one finds that there are a variety of different and beautiful insights when it comes to Karpas. And I want to share with you one of them today. I'll share with you two of them today in the Sefer Maaseh Hashem. So he quotes over here in the Haggadah Maaseh Hashem, he quotes over here something amazing. He says, the Karpas is remez the Mechiras Yosef. This ultimately is, the Karpas is supposed to be a hint or an allusion to the sale of Yosef. Because what does it say by the sale of Yosef? Vayit peluas hakutones badam. The pasuk says when the brothers conspired to sell Yosef, first they wanted to kill him, then they were convinced not to kill him, but they sold him, they took his coat, the coat that Yaakov Avinu had given him, the special coat, the ketones hapasim, they dipped it in blood, they showed it to Yaakov, they said, Yaakov, is this the coat of your son? And Yaakov reaches his own conclusion, chaya ra'a achosu. It must have been a wild animal consumed him. Therefore, the Maaseh Hashem writes that in the same way they dipped the coat of Yosef in blood, so we dip the Karpas into the salt water. So the Maaseh Hashem goes, so where does this connection come from? So he makes a very interesting etymological observation. The pasuk says that if you look at the word Karpas, Rotzolomer Shemachru Oso Ba'at Kisones Pasim, Vikar Huloshon Mechira. So interestingly enough, so he quotes the pasuk in Bereshis that the word Kar, Kaf Resh, is used in Biblical Hebrew to mean sale, and pas is part of the word of pasim, the multicolored coat. So when you look at kar pas, so it's a contraction of these two words, kar sale, pas, kisonas pasim, the multicolored coat, a reference to the idea that after selling Yosef, they dipped his coat into blood, delivered that to Yaakov, and Yaakov thought his son was dead. What does this have to do with the Lel HaSeder? So perhaps, again, what the Maaseh Hashem is teaching us is as follows. Remember, everything in the Seder is to help us reach a level where we feel that we experience the emancipation and salvation of Exodus. The goal of the Pesach Seder is Chayiv Adam Liros Es Asmo Kihu Iluhu Yatzim in Mitzrayim. I'm supposed to feel as if I've left Egypt myself. I'm supposed to feel free, I'm supposed to experience freedom, and I'm supposed to actualize that freedom. And throughout the Pesach Seder, we try to figure out, so what does freedom mean? How does freedom actualize? What do I do with this newfound freedom? So the Maaseh Hashem explains so beautifully that perhaps part of the idea of freedom is the ability to forge bonds with my fellow Jews. There is nothing more destructive to Klal Yisrael than sinas chinam. There is nothing more destructive to the Jewish people than baseless hatred. There is nothing more destructive than animosity. We are an opinionated, strong-willed people, and we don't agree. Very often we don't agree with our friends, we don't agree with our family, we don't agree with our teachers, and that's okay. Part of the beauty of Judaism is that we are encouraged to question, and we are encouraged ultimately to delve for deeper understandings, and differences of opinion are not something we avoid. Chas v'shalom, it's something we embrace. It is just our job to dialogue with dignity. It's our job to figure out how to respect someone, even if I don't agree with them. It's our job to figure out how to fulfill the ahavta l're'acha kamocha, to love my fellow Jew like I love myself, even if I vehemently disagree with every single one of his opinions. We as a people have to master the art of disagreeing agreeably, of knowing how to have differences of opinion, and sometimes very stark differences of opinion, but yet still being able to love each other, accept each other, and value one another. And perhaps that's the idea. We take this karpas, which at least etymologically is a veiled reference to the sale of Yosef, because you know, it was the sale of Yosef that is the real beginning of the Egyptian narrative. How did the Jews get down to Egypt? Remember, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu already in the beginning of Bereishis that Ger Yezer Acha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, your children will be a stranger in a strange land, Va'avdu V'inu Osam Arba Me'o Shanam, they'll be afflicted for 400 years, God never tells Avram it's going to be in Egypt. That was not necessarily forecasted to Avraham Avinu. So how did we get down to Egypt? We got down to Egypt because of the animosity between brothers, because of the hatred between brothers, because literally one brother turned against another, and a group of brothers were willing to kill another brother whom they disagreed with. Well, if we're free, if we're going to be Bnei Chorin, if it's Chayiv Adam Liros, it's Asil Kiyotzeh Mimitzrayim, then the only way to build a personality of freedom, and the only way to build a nation of free people, is to love each other. There has to be love, even when there is no agreement. There has to be respect, even in the face of profound and acute disagreement. And so as we begin the Pesach Seder, even before we go ahead and we launch the actual narrative of Maggid, retelling the servitude and retelling about redemption, we go ahead and we make a promise to ourselves and a promise to our fellow Jews that we are going to build a nation and we're going to build lives of Avas Yisrael, of love for our fellow, and Achdus and unity. And even though it's challenging, and even though it's difficult, and even though sometimes what we disagree about is quite important and quite profound, we still will find a way to love despite having our acute differences and disagreements. That's the symbolism of Karpas. We landed in Egypt because brother turned against brother, and we emerged from Egypt because we united. And we celebrate our freedom. One of the greatest manifestations of our freedom is our ability to love each other, our ability to accept one another, our ability to be a united people. But I'll share with you one additional idea as well. In the, still quoting from the Haggadah of the Dvar Aram, Rav Avram Aaron of Chop, the Rav of Chop, we quoted a lot from the last couple of Shiurim. So he says in his Perush Fe'er Aaron something beautiful. This is Karpas. See, he says, Karpas is a reference or a veiled reference to Adam Rishon, to the first man. So he quotes the Arizal who says that the reason for Egyptian enslavement was because of the sin of Adam Rishon. So you ask yourself, what does the sin of Adam Rishon have to do with enslavement? Because remember, again, the sin of Adam Rishon set man on a downward spiral, a downward trajectory. And the real fallout from the sin of Adam Rishon is that sometimes difficult things happen, and even when you do the right things, and when you make the right decisions, the results often are not what you had intended for. That's very much a byproduct of the sin of Adam HaRishon. And as such, says the Arizal, the servitude, the suffering of Egypt is rooted in the chet of Adam. And he says, when it comes to Va'alkin Ochlin Karpas, Yerek Esav, therefore eat Karpas. Why? What is Karpas? Karpas is a vegetable, something, vegetation that grows in the ground, Kimo Shekasov, Kies Kol Yerek Esav Nasati Lechem La'achlo, Delo Hutulo Le'achol Kiyim Yerek. So the Karpas is a reference to Adam HaRishon. How is the Karpas a reference to Adam HaRishon? Because Adam HaRishon, remember, was not permitted to consume meat. He was not permitted to kill animals for the sake of his own consumption. Rather, he had to subsist solely and only on that which grew from the ground. Therefore, says the Arizal, or says the Dvar Aaron, that taking the Arizal, that since we believe that ultimately the Shibud of Mitzrayim is a result of Adam Arishon's sin, we make a reference to Adam Arishon over through the Karpas, representing the food supply of Adam, which had to come from the ground, had to grow from the ground. He was only permitted to eat vegetation and was not permitted to eat animals. But I think we could take this idea of the Dvar Aaron, of the Arizal, just a little bit further. Taking this symbolism that the Yarek Esev, that the vegetable represents Adam Arishon, maybe it's not linked to the sin of Adam, but maybe just the opposite. It's linked to Adam Arishon before the sin. You see, my friends, the amazing part about Adam Arishon before the sin is that he was absolutely, fully, and totally content with his vegetables, with his Yarek Esev HaSodeh. He was absolutely content with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him the vegetation of the earth. You're not going to have a nice steak. You're not going to have a piece of chicken. You're not going to have, you know, the seven-course meal with all of the fixings. Adam Arishon was okay with that. He found contentment and he found happiness in life, even with just the Yarek Esev HaSodeh. And I think perhaps Chazal, the rabbis, are trying to teach us an incredible idea. On this night when we celebrate our freedom, the incredible part about freedom is that we have the ability to pursue a sense of happiness in life. And all too often, we think that happiness is rooted in material accomplishment and acquisition. Now, the Ribon Shel Olam created a beautiful material world. And he created that material world for us to enjoy. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to be ascetics. He does not want us to divorce ourselves from material pleasure. What he asks is that we use it responsibly. What he asks is that we use it in some type of holy pursuit. What he asks is that everything that we have, which is material, we use it for some higher purpose. But the Haggadah is teaching us an additional lesson, which is on this night when we celebrate our freedom. In this night when we celebrate our freedom to become something, to become special, to actualize our identity. When we celebrate our freedom to achieve some level of happiness in life. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that your happiness is going to come from your material possessions. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that your happiness is going to come because of something you could buy, something you could own, or somewhere you can vacation. Those are all beautiful and wonderful things, but that is not the root of a person's happiness. You know, I'll share with you something amazing. It's always interesting to me. You know, when you get to Karpas and the Seder, so usually it's quite late. And the amazing part is, on any other night of the year, if somebody were to offer you a little bit of potato and salt water at 9, 10 o'clock at night, you would most of us would probably say, thanks, but no thanks. I appreciate the potato and the salt water, I'm good. But you know the amazing part is, at the Leil HaSeder, when it comes to the Seder night, when you see that little potato and the little bit of salt water, it's not much like the most magnificent delicacy. Now, of course, much of that is because I'm starving. And much of that is because I haven't eaten anything all day. You know, Erev Pesach is one of the hardest days to feel sated, because there's not all that much you could eat. So by the time I get that little potato and salt water, it's not much like man. Man from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing ever tasted better. And it puts a smile on your face, and it causes the grumbling of the stomach to stop, at least for a little while. And the truth is, you feel happy. The truth is, you feel content. The truth is, in that moment, that little bit of potato and salt water is just as good as the most wonderful aged and seasoned steak. And Chazal were trying to teach us an incredible lesson. Happiness in life doesn't come from anything you own. Doesn't come from anything you purchase. V'haraya, the proof to that is, Adam Arishon was perfectly happy and perfectly content with his Yarek Esev HaSodeh in Gan Eden. He was perfectly happy with all of his vegetation. He went wrong when he thought that his happiness was dependent on something else he needed to experience, or something else he needed to acquire. But at least in the beginning of his time in Gan Eden, he was perfectly happy with a little potato, with a little bit of vegetable. And this is the message that Chazal were trying to teach us as well. We are free. And on the night of the Pesach, we celebrate that freedom. That freedom gives us the ability to achieve a level of happiness. But happiness comes from spiritual accomplishment. Happiness comes from personal growth. Happiness comes from a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. It doesn't come from the material world. Comfort comes from the material world. Some level of enjoyment comes from the material world, but not happiness. Adam Rishon teaches us that happiness could come even from the most simple of material things. Or I should say differently, that happiness never comes from material things. Comfort, subsistence, existence comes from material things. Happiness comes from what follows after Karpas. Happiness comes from Magid. Happiness comes from Hallel. Happiness comes from Shir HaShirim. True happiness in life comes ultimately from a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. So from this little potato, within a little bit of salt water, we learn three dramatic lessons. Lesson number one, that on this night of freedom, we must pledge to ourselves to try to build bonds of unity within Klal Yisrael. It's easy to disagree, and it's easy to have vociferous debates, but we must learn to love one another, accept one another, and appreciate one another, even if we agree on absolutely nothing. Lesson number two, which was the lesson of the Arizal. Adam HaRishon, the Arizal says, his chait was ultimately again paved way for Galus Mitzrayim, for Egyptian servitude. What we must learn from that is that our actions have repercussions, and everything we do has a ripple effect, often in ways that we could have never forecast or we could have never seen. And lesson number three is that happiness in life does not come from your material possessions. Happiness in life comes from the things that are the intangibles. Happiness comes from a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Happiness comes from spiritual development. Happiness comes from Hallel. Happiness comes from relationship with the divine. Happiness comes from spiritual growth. The material world is here to help us in all of those endeavors. The material world is here to help us achieve some level of physical comfort and contentment so that we could focus on that which is spiritual. The Karpas tells us, take what you need from the world in order to accomplish something great, but never look for happiness in the material world. Look for happiness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look for happiness in the spiritual. Look for happiness in the holiness. Wishing everyone a wonderful day, and we will continue Emirat HaShem with Yachatz tomorrow.